We'll get into our sermon tonight then. If you would, take your Bibles, take those prayer requests, take those notes. We'll pray for them later, if you would. Oh, the missions bucket. Well, all right. That's okay. Here's what we're doing tonight anyway. So after our sermon, we'll do a quick missions bucket fill and get into our, meeting. Yeah. Annual administrative meeting. Okay? All right. So Joshua, if you would, please. Joshua chapter number 21, I believe. Where are we at? Yeah, 21. Joshua chapter 21. Excited to be back in our series in Joshua. We're at the end of the dividing of the land. They've come to do what they have set out to do, which God told Joshua to enter the land, to possess the land, to divide the land, and they've done that. And now we kind of wrap that up in verse number 43. The Bible says this: "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not out of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Pretty clear there. This is what happened. God did it. God was faithful. God did everything he said he will do. God always does that. God does everything he says he'll do. So the title tonight is this: God has been faithful. God has been faithful. We know that in our life, and Israel experienced that. So let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for your word again. Thank you for just how you're working, Lord, in Falls City and surrounding areas. And thank you for Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Thank you for these, your people, and just the spirit that's here and desire to follow you in your word. And so I pray that you help us as your word is declared. Help me to do that. And then help us all, Lord, to have hearts that are open and soft and ready to hear. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So, very short passage here, very direct passage. Really, here's what's happened. It's done, right? It's finally done. Everything we've been talking about for the last year, kind of interesting. This is kind of where we left off a year ago. I just kind of made that connection, though. So I was voted in as pastor on January 8th, but then Pastor Moore was continuing to preach Sunday nights until he went to Arizona, which would have been a year ago. Tuesday will be a year. So this is, we've been in Joshua for a year, and when we started Joshua, here's what we found out. God told them, go into the land, take the land, divide the land. And that's exactly what they've done. They went into the land, they took the land, they divided the land. Now, we've said this over and over and over in Joshua, but it was, they did do that. They did take the land, they did divide the land, but we understand this, don't we? God is the one who did that, right? God is the one who took the land for them. God said, it's yours. I have given it to you. God gave them the land. God divided them the land. And here's what we're reading here, is that all the promises that God made to Israel all of those years ago, starting back with Abraham, we're going to kind of march through that a little bit tonight, has all come true. It's all happened. It's done. Everything God promised had come to pass, is what it said at the end of verse 45. And so what are we talking about? What did God promise them? Well, verse 43 reminds us that God promised them the promised land, right? Verse 43 says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware." Again, that word swear is another word for promise. He promised to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. So here it is. He promised it, and there they are. He promised them the land, they have the land. That promise was originally made 400 years before this to Abraham, when God called Abraham from Ur of Chaldees and called him and made and promised him a great nation. And if, Genesis 24:7, I'm going to just jot a lot of verses at you. If you're taking notes, maybe just write these down. We're not going to turn to all of these tonight. But Genesis 24:7 says this: "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house," again, this is Abraham talking, "and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land." God promised that way back then. "He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto thy son," and then talking about also the lineage that would come from him, okay? Genesis 26, verse 3 said, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee." Now, this is God talking to Abraham, right? "You sojourn in this land, I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seeds I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." I'm sorry, talking to Isaac there. But God again made that promise to Abraham and to Isaac, and then he made that again to Jacob, and then he made that promise again to Joseph, and on it went. But that's what God told the patriarchs to do. He said, "Sojourn in this land, you stay here, and I promise, I will give this land to your kindred, your lineage." Now, sojourn means it's not theirs yet. That's not a word we use a lot, but they're kind of staying there. They're just living there, almost like renting out the place. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not own the promised land. They all three died, and on their death, they didn't own any of the promised land. They didn't see any of this promise fulfilled, right? They died, and all they owned was their plot of land they were buried in. That's it, of the promised land. Hebrews 11:9 says that, "But by faith, Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles," that literally means tents, "with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And so I love that. He sojourned in the land of promise. He's there. He knows this isn't his yet, but he knows God's going to give it to him. And he's living in a tent, and it's not very awesome, but he knows that God is going to give that to him. And he sojourned in the land of promise. And Abraham never owned it, but he had faith that God would give them the land. And in Abraham's mind, it was as good as theirs. You know why? Because God promised it to him. And Abraham understood this about God. He is faithful. Our God is faithful. That promise was told again to Moses in Numbers 11:12, where it says, "Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, and as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers?" He says, "I will bring them into that land that I swore unto your fathers." Deuteronomy 1:8 says, "Behold, I have set the land before you." Now this is, the Deuteronomy is when they're about to enter. They finally got to the brink of the land the second time, and God said, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." And so again, he reiterates that promise. And by the way, the promise didn't change. And God didn't change his mind. It's not how our God works. You know, we're kind of limited, and we don't know the future, and we can make promises to our kids. By the way, when you make a promise to your kid, be very careful that you're going to be able to follow through. It does. They know how that goes. They remember the promises you make. But here's the thing, we're limited. And we can make promises, but when we make promises, we don't know what's going to happen. And so you know how it goes. "I promise we'll go here tomorrow." And then tomorrow comes and something happens. "Okay, I really wanted to, but maybe the next day." You know, and that's how we are. We are often unable to keep our promises. But God's not like that. He doesn't promise something and then change it. And then promise something and change it and alter it because of unforeseen circumstance. God doesn't have any of those, right? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? He does, when he makes a promise, he knows the future when he makes that promise. And so he made that promise 400 years before. He makes that promise again to Moses and then again to Joshua in Joshua 1:6, when he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I swore it, I promised it, and when I promise it, I will do what I say." And he did. And so in our passage, we're seeing the fulfillment of that promise, where God promised them the promised land, and now they have that land. They have that land. Then verse 44 reminds us that God promised them rest. And so he promised them land, And he promised that they would have rest in that land. Look at verse 44. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he, what? Swear, right? He promised them, I'll bring you into the land, I'll give you rest. Unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. So what was that all about? Well, here's the promises he made for that. Exodus 33:14. In the days of Moses, he said, in Exodus 33:14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Deuteronomy 12:9-10. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord God giveth you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. God said, I will give you rest when I bring you in the land, to Moses. And then again to Joshua, he reiterated that same promise, Joshua 1:13-15, where he says, remember the word which Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, that ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Verse 15, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and on he goes. And so he promised that he would give rest. And so he promised the land, he promised rest, and these are really the two major things that were that he mentions here, but really every good thing, verse 45 says, it, there failed not of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. It all happened. All of those promises, all of that waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years has finally come to fruition. Okay, so what are we saying here? Well, there are some lessons that we can learn in this whole thing about God's faithfulness. Here's what we've learned and what we need to grasp and get a hold of tonight. God is faithful. God is faithful. He always keeps his promises. Maybe not at the time you want him to, but at the time he promised to, he will. Maybe not in the way you want him to, but in the way he promised to, he will. He will keep his promise. He is the God of his word. You can trust his word. And we have the benefit of seeing this whole picture, right? We got the whole thing. We can see the promises made. We just looked at them all the way back to Abraham's day. We can see that Israel was reminded over and over and over again about these promises. And as we see all of this at once, well, what can we learn about from all this? Well, just think about this for a moment. There were a lot of times when I'm sure Israel was finding it hard to believe these promises were going to happen. Now, we're going to march through a few things, but before we even do that, just consider this. Why in the world did God have to keep telling them that? And telling them that? And telling them that? It's because they kept losing faith in that. And were struggling to believe it. And so God would continue to reiterate his promise. Think about this. Again, we talked about this already, but Abraham died having nothing to his name except his burial plot, as far as the land goes. By the way, God also promised him a great lineage, children as the sand of the sea, and he had one. I can count that. He said it's going to be countless children. And he died with really one, and you know, Ishmael was there too. But as far as the promise goes, and through him and Sarah, one. And in the land, he had the burial plot. That's it. And during the end of Abraham's life, it might have been hard for him to believe that these promises ever were going to come true. Now, we don't know that, but you can see the temptation there. He was a stranger in the land God promised him. It was as good as his because God promised it. But he still was a stranger. You see, that's difficult. How about when Israel was in bondage to Egypt for 400 years? What happened to God? You know, they felt that way. You read through Exodus, that's how they felt. God forgot all about us. No, he didn't. Hey, no, he didn't. God didn't forget about Israel, but their servers were tempted to think that when it was so difficult for so long. They were slaves. They weren't even strangers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were at least strangers in this land. They were at least in the proximity of the land. But these slaves were taken out of the land and now are slaves in a different land, you see. And it must have been hard for them to believe that all of these promises that God made to their forefathers were really going to happen. How about during the 40 years, wandering around, seemingly forever? 40 years is a long time. It's not as long as 400 years, but that's a long time. I'm not even 40 yet. So, 40 years is a lot, okay? Just kidding. But it is a long time. And you just think about it, that 33rd, 34th year, how difficult it would have been. And instead of enjoying the land full of milk and honey, they were wandering around in the dust, wondering where their water was going to come from. And when they had opportunity to enter the land, they saw giants in the land. We already know about the giants. I already told you I'm not talking football tonight, but we already know the giants are hard to beat, and they need God's help. And so you look in the land, and the land that God promised them, they look in there, and there's like these giants there. And it was hard for them to believe they could even beat those giants. Right? That's why they turned back. And they were having a hard time trusting all of this. And then to believe that God would give them rest when they went in there, where those giants were, it would have been hard, you see. And then they entered the land with Joshua, and then what did they have? Not rest. Lots and lots and lots of battles. Lots of battles. And they must have wondered if there'd ever be rest. But through it all, God stayed the same. Through it all, God's promise was exactly the same. God never forgot about his promise to them. God never changed his mind. It was always the same. And so here's what Israel learned through all of this. Now that they're at the end and looking back, they're seeing this. God has been faithful. And he truly has kept his promises. Hopefully a lot of them have trusted that. And now they're seeing the fruit of that. And they're seeing God truly is faithful. They've learned this, that God, the promises of God are not limited by our circumstances. Hey, the chaos that accompanied the life of the nation of Israel did not affect whether God would keep his promises or not keep his promises. Didn't matter how dire the circumstances got, God was faithful. See? They learned this, the promises of God are not limited by time. And even after 400 years, God's promise was just as sure as the day he made it the first time. They learned this, the promises of God are not limited by our unfaithfulness. Aren't you thankful that God's faithfulness is not linked to our faithfulness? The unfaithfulness of Israel did not affect whether or not God would be faithful to his promises. I will say there are some promises that are conditional. We have to say that. And God does make promises this way. If you do that, I promise to do that. Those happen. But there are a lot of promises. God doesn't do that a lot because he knows who we are. He's got a lot of promises in his word that are just true, that will happen irrespective of our unfaithfulness. I'm thankful for that. He's not limited that way. And so God has always kept his promises. Why? Because he is faithful. Because of his character, not because of our character. No matter what was happening in the world, no matter what was happening in the life of Israel, no matter how unfaithful Israel was, God was faithful to Israel. They learned that. By the way, God is still faithful, isn't he? The same God. We serve the same God. He never changes. And he's faithful. And he's still faithful to keep his promises. And God has made a lot of promises to us, hasn't he? And you know about the promises of God, you just got nervous that this is going to be a 3-hour sermon. Because if we wanted to list all the promises that God has made to us, we could be here for a long time. Maybe we will, just because of the day. No. No, we're not going to list them all, but here's the point. When God makes a promise, you can trust he'll do it. He is faithful to keep his promises. And so what do we need to do then? Knowing that about our God, knowing who our God is, knowing the faithfulness of our God, knowing that He's always true to His word, knowing that He will always keep His promises, even if we're not good enough, even though we're not faithful, even though time might be there, maybe chaos and craziness of our world is there, what do we need to do knowing all of this? We need to go find out what His promises are. I would encourage you to do that. We're going to list them tonight. But again, this is not going to be exhaustive. You know, I would encourage you to dig in and find the promises of God. Because if you find a promise of God in Scripture, you can take it to the bank. And you need to live your life, listen, you need to build your life not on what the circumstances of your world look like. You don't need to build your life on your own character and on your own faithfulness. That's a recipe for a lot of depression and anxiety. We need to build our life on the firm foundation of God's promises and His faithfulness. You see? And how do we do that? Well, we need to find out what He promised. And then we can claim those promises, right? We can claim those promises. Well, like what? Well, how about Psalm 1, 1 through 3? It says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall not prosper." Hey, God promised to bless and stabilize those who follow him. And he shall be like a tree planted in the waters. He doesn't say those whose life is going just swimmingly will be all good. That's not even the Message version of that. That's not what he says, right? Your life doesn't have to be pristine, and you don't have to have the perfect house and the perfect car and the perfect job and the perfect kids and the perfect wife, even though I have most of those things, amen? But you don't have to have those things to have a life of security and stability, to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here's the only thing you need for that is to walk after the statutes of God. You just need to follow God. And God will do that. It's a promise. And sometimes we find it hard to believe that. Sometimes we convince ourselves that following God isn't worth it. But here's the thing. There's no better life than the one that is following God. And God promised it to be that way. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Yeah, you might miss out on some things. Good. If you miss out on some things because you're following God, here's what that means. That thing you didn't need. That thing was only going to bring destruction. You have to claim this promise. The blessed life is the one that is following God. Blessed. And following God is always worth it. That's a promise of God. How about Romans 10:13? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's not, again, we already said this. Doesn't include baptism. Doesn't include church membership. Doesn't include being an awesome person. Here's the one thing Jesus promised. You call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Promise of God. You can trust that. And even if we mess up after that, here's another promise of God. John 10:27-28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And here's what he says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." You cannot lose your salvation. Jesus gave you eternal life the day you got saved. Eternal life is not eternal life if you lose it. If you lose your eternal life when you mess up, that's a very, very short life. Right. For me, it was like 10 minutes. Right. That doesn't sound everlasting. But Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Jesus also said, I don't have it written down, that they have passed from death to life. It's awesome. And again, that is not anchored in our living for God or not living for God. That is anchored in the promise of God. That is anchored in the finished work of Christ. That because of what Jesus did, if you are saved this morning, you cannot lose your salvation. The Bible is abundantly clear about that. Promise of God. And we can anchor ourselves. I can't imagine. There are denominations out there that teach that you can lose your salvation. There are denominations out there that teach if you don't live the way you ought to, then you'll lose it. Well, first of all, the Bible doesn't teach that. But secondly, like how scary is that? How nerve-wracking is that? Like, where is the line? The Bible doesn't give one. What, if I lie and then die, I'm dead? And forever? Forever? I can't tell you how many people here in Falls City that I've talked to, that have gone to different churches, that teach you lose your salvation. And they come into my office and they say, I don't know if I'm going to die, if I'm going to go to heaven or not, because I don't know if I've crossed that line. Can you imagine the anxiety? God did not promise you can have eternal life if you live right. God promised you can have eternal life if you've called out by faith on Christ. And you will never perish. Never perish. Okay. That's awesome. Another promise, John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is coming again, and he will take us to that place, the promise of God. Another promise, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing. That word careful means literally anxious, full of care, torn apart through these cares. And he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's what he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. You call out to God, and he will give you peace. Promise of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. I love that. Unto the glory of God by us. By the way, the word amen literally means so let it be. And you know, that's a good word to shout in the middle of a sermon, right? Because when you yell amen, what you're saying is, what you just said, that's the way it is, right? And here's what 2 Corinthians 1:20 says. What God said, that's the way it's going to be, right? His promises are that way. They are yea. They will happen. And we can go on and on and on. And again, for sake of time, we just won't do that. But here's the point. We serve a faithful God. He has been faithful. God will always keep his promises. So don't cling on your circumstances for security and stability. Cling onto and claim the promises of our faithful God, no matter how your circumstances look. Hey, if you trust in your circumstances, well, what do you mean by that? That means if your life's going well, you're doing good, and you're stable, but then life gets chaotic, and then that means you get chaotic, right? That means you're clinging onto your circumstances. And if you do that, you're going to go through times in your life where you're going to be tempted to wonder if God really does keep his promises. But we have to remember this. God's promises are not limited by our circumstances. Right? If you trust in your worthiness, then you're going to constantly struggle. Why? Because you know you're not. You don't deserve anything good. And you're going to be down on yourself, and you're going to be full, just riddled with anxiety. Because his promises are not anchored on our worthiness. They're anchored on his faithfulness. But you can hold on tight to the faithfulness of God that supersedes our circumstances and supersedes our worthiness. They're on the firm foundation of God's blessing. So what are we saying? Well, it's kind of pretty incredible. We just are here in Joshua. And what they're doing is they've come through this, and now they're looking back and seeing all the ways that God has been faithful. And here we are on our church annual administrative meeting. And what we'll do in a moment is here's what we're going to do. We're going to look back at 2023. And as we look back at 2023, here's what we can say. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. At the beginning of 2023, the circumstances were pretty chaotic, weren't they? You were here, you know how it was. There's a whirlwind blew in. At the end of 22 and the beginning of 23, Pastor Moore been here for 10 years, as far as we knew, staying here forever. And if we can be a little bit honest, some of us were anchored on the Moore family. Can we just be honest about that? Some of us were anchored on them. How do you know that? Well, because whenever God moved them, we didn't know what to do. And it did. It showed us a little bit, didn't it? That we were not really anchored in God and his faithfulness. We were anchored in a man and his faithfulness. And there's a lot of churches that do that, and they'll anchor themselves to the man of God that's in that church. Don't do that. I am not solid ground. You cannot hang your spiritual hat on me. I will mess you up. You need to follow God, right? You follow me as I'm following God, but who are we following? We're following God, okay? But that was happening in our church. Some of our church was really, we were kind of concerned, right? We knew that, I mean, if we're thinking about it just theologically, you know, we knew God would provide everything we need, and we knew he would provide it at the right time. But at that time, it was some of us, and maybe all of us at moments, it was kind of hard to envision how all that was going to happen, right? But even though we missed the Moore family and still miss the Moore family, God was still faithful to work in Fall City, wasn't he? I'm going to get into a little bit of this. It's going to make our meeting smaller, okay? Are you happy about that? But we had 106 first-time guests in 2023. Isn't that awesome? It's 106 people that walked into this building that had never been here before. Awesome. We had 4 people call out on Christ in 2023. Awesome. 5 people baptized. 12 people joined the church in 2023. Brother Tim became the assistant pastor. Pretty awesome. God brought the Valdez family here. And Brother Mike became another assistant pastor. Awesome. Brother Josh stepped up as treasurer. Brother Steve stepped up as song leader. Several others stepped up and served in ways that they hadn't before. You know, it was incredible to watch. If you were here for that time, it was awesome. We're reaping the benefits of that right now. And we weren't sure what was going to happen with our music program. We didn't know. I mean, that was one of the biggest ones for me. I'm like, what is going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. I promise you this. At the beginning, I was like, I don't know. But really, about 2 weeks into it, I was like, if God's doing this, he'll provide. I don't know how. Felt like Abraham. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going. We'll see what happens. See where we end up. Here we are. It's awesome, right, what God's doing. And several people stepped up and started learning piano. We had 4 people that were on rotation, I believe it was, just learning piano. That was awesome, wasn't it? Watch them step up that way and learn. They're still learning. It's incredible. Several people stepped up and began to sing to recorded piano tracks. People who never sang before, because, you know, the Moore family were all awesome singers, and so they were half our music program anyway, just their voices. And so people stepped up and were singing, people who had never sang before, singing. Our choir remained intact. We hunkered down, right? And we kept singing to those recorded tracks that Miss Melissa made. Yep. And then Brother Mike came. And God has used him in a tremendous way. With our choir and in a lot of ways. Awesome. Right? Very cool. And really, we could go on and on and on. But here's the best way we can really say it, right? God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And God was faithful for Israel. And here's really the point tonight. Moving forward, because Israel wasn't done yet, right? Moving forward, Israel can look back at this moment. When things get difficult in the future and they get chaotic in the future, they could lean on and rest in the fact that God is always faithful. And yeah, things are crazy right now, and I don't know what's going to happen, but God does, and he's faithful. This hasn't changed our God. This hasn't changed the character of our God. This is not. This is no way has altered the promises of our God. He is faithful. And he'll give them exactly what they need at exactly the right time. And they can look back at this moment. And my prayer is this, as a pastor and as church family, that as we move into, deeper into, we're already in February, but goodness, but as we move through 2024, and we will no doubt face trials as a church along the way, and things at moments are going to get crazy and chaotic. This is the world we live in, right? And when those times happen, we can look back to this moment and know God was faithful in 2023, and God will be faithful in 2024, and God will be faithful in 2025, and if our nation explodes in 2026, God will be faithful in 2026, and we'll move forward knowing that God is faithful. And in your life, when things get chaotic, and when you don't see a way out, you might not understand what's happening. You might not understand why this is happening. You might not understand where this is going to end up. But you can know this. God has been faithful, and God will be faithful. God has been faithful, and God will be faithful. And anchor your life on that, and you won't regret it. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. You're so good to us. And Lord, you know who we are. We are well aware tonight how unfaithful we are and how limited we are, how frail we are, how unworthy we are. But God, we rest tonight in the fact that you're faithful and that you are unlimited and that you are worthy. You are able to bring us to where you want us to go. Help us to follow you with confidence that way and trust in your faithfulness. We love in Christ and my prayer. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's put the mic, please. God's working in your heart tonight. Let's do business with him.